John Ranova and the beginning of Hunk's report on her visit with old Wiles this Friday after Brock Pomeranz, Friday after he left, the after supper, the 22nd of February, 72. Faye reports on old George. George, we call him. Faye reports on old George Wiles after the Brock leaves, the after supper, the Friday, the 22nd of February, 74.
Well, I've had a good bit of rattling, you see, already.
Yeah.
If I got to keep that up, I'll
I've
I'll
had more than I want to.
Think about it.
Yeah.
Ooh. Now, what you got to sit way over there for, Faye?
Well, I don't know. I don't usually sit there.
You don't think I enjoy this. I got to go along with somebody,
sure.
You see. I got to have somebody to work with.
Sure. And I
put up with that for an hour and a half.
I know it.
2 hours.
2 hours.
Practically 2 hours.
Yeah.
Excluding supper.
Yeah.
All that rattle and stuff.
Uh-huh.
There's absolutely nothing rational about the radio world.
Mm-mm. No.
He seems to be a specimen of it.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. It's just touch and go with him all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have the tape on during that last part. That was as informative as anything I ever saw. I don't know. It just played out and I didn't change it.
But you can see, yes, he's a specimen.
Yeah. What do you expect from that?
Mm-hmm.
Like what? Look at the kind of world that
yeah.
be with him in it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, the world got to have a place for him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know where you're going to start.
Oh, yes, well, I'll tell you. First place, that's a pleasant drive.
Yeah. More pleasant than the other one.
Yeah. I've gone the other way, the Hawthorne way, and it's pretty nice too. But this is, I think it's a little farther this way, but it's more pleasant.
What do you mean farther?
Or maybe it's closer. I don't know. Maybe just because I didn't know.
Well, you go to Hawthorne this other way.
No, you don't.
4 or 5 miles of Hawthorne.
Well, I don't know one way or the other. But
and
this
way, you go into the edge of Gainesville. Now, how could this be farther?
Well, anyway, it's pleasant drive.
You've got that in your mind that this is something. I don't know
and
how you
I,
get it there.
You want me to?
I don't.
So
get
I was looking at Colonial, and I was looking at the.
I don't get how you got there. Just tell me what you saw.
I turned the wrong direction, and I asked this person.
Hey, I don't care how you got there.
Well, anyway,
I've listened to all that trivia. I can stand now.
Okay. He said George Weil lives right there in the woods.
I don't give a damn where he lives, B.
And I went to the door,
George.
And I heard this woman say, come in. And she was in the bed, his wife. She had red henna hair. And she was reading in the bed. And then I heard this voice come from the back and say, welcome to my shack. Welcome to my shack. And I said, well, it certainly wasn't hard to find, George. He said, no, everybody out here knows me. I said, well, you live in a wood. He said, I planted every tree. Highway people came by here and it took everything up. And I planted everything back. And it's a little cottage and it's set right down there and a bunch of trees right off the main road, hidden. And two bicycles out front and a mailbox. And you almost have to go in a little, well, passageway to get to it. Of trees.
He likes trees.
Yeah.
Well, that's something.
Yes, it is.
That's something Mrs. Old Spirit didn't say.
He planted every one of them. I said, well, we just thought we'd like to get in touch with you. He said, my phone's out of shape. And he had that wicked look on his face. He said, it's been out of fix for a long time. His wife over there, in a blue gown. She's something. And she didn't look a bit sick. I think she spends her time reading in bed. Said, yes, and with a twinkle in her eye. It's been out of fix a long time, and they thought that was a big joke. George said, I told him I had a note for you, and we were thinking, you were thinking that some good day he could come over, come out. And he turned to her and he said, it'd be good for you. And I said, well, this first time, I didn't know what you, I did look at your note. I said, this first time, you'd better try it out by yourself. It's, I think, a little business. Oh, she says, I'm not coming the first time. George had been talking to her about this trip. And they've been planning. And George says, you know, we could bike out there, and it's not more than 12 miles, and get there for dinner. He said, now tomorrow it's going to be cold. It's supposed to be cold tomorrow and Sunday. It's going to be cold. It's going to be cold on our bicycles. I said, again, sort of in the offhand way, well, you'd better find out how to get there, and then you can bring her along. Well, that she understood perfectly, but George kept trying to include her. You could see, and I thought to myself, this is rare. No woman's going to tell me what to do. George's wife. She's a pampered one. She is, sure. She's got her novels and her reading material all over the bed. She's got her writing material in a fancy box where she can reach it. She did say one time that she wasn't able to do much work. She can ride a bicycle 12 miles. Well, then she knows how to work. Sweet, sweet. Well, anyway, George says he was supposed to go painting tomorrow. Go out with a painter and paint some. He said, I think it's going to be too cold to paint.
It ought to be 70 when you paint.
He said he thought it was going to be too cold to paint. I said, well, when you come out to Guy's place, you want to come when it's not raining, because you want to, you know, you want to be able to look around. Oh, he says, yes, sure, I want to look around. He says, I know where Ruby's bar is. Wouldn't be any trouble to bicycle that far. I said, well, when you get there, you practically at Guy's. It's just a, you know, just a whip flash from there. Oh, he said it wouldn't be any trouble at all. I said, I guess he'd see you back. Well, I didn't push him about tomorrow or the next day or any day, you know. I just made it. And oh, he was pleased as he could be. And after some time, he said to her, this is Professor Miles' wife, you know. She right away thought of somebody she knew, or they had known, some caretaker or somebody up there, and she wondered if I knew that person, and he said no, he didn't. He told her, no, I don't think she does know him. Well, anyway, he said it's going to take him from now on to fix up that shack. He said he hadn't done any work on it, but he'd been working out, and now he's going to fix it up. He looked around a little bit. He said, you can see it's going to take me some time. It wasn't dirty. It was just full. It was just full of stuff. Books and shoes and clothes and everything. And right in the front room was her bed. I think there must have been, it must be three rooms to it, as he said. Yes, he said, he wanted to come out. Yes, he said. And he had that twinkle, and you thought he was going to say something rack-helly. I expected him to all the time, but he didn't. But he had that laugh all the time, standing in the middle of the door. She said, you mean you're going to ride 12 miles on that bicycle? He said, yeah, sure. He said, I've done it before. I've been to Micanopy. He says, I know how to get to Micanopy from here. It's no trouble to get from Micanopy from here. I said, if you need to call me, you can get me in town. That's when he said his telephone was just out. But he said he could step over to the filling station and he could call. And he asked, she said, why don't you put the number down? And I did.
It was already down. I put it in the sheet of paper.
Yeah. Well, she made it to, she had the paper and the pencil, so she wrote it down. But I wasn't expecting a country wife, but I wasn't expecting this one. But the cutest thing was when I walked up to the front of the house, there were these two bicycles. One on one side, one on the other. And just before you went in sort of this little passageway was this great big mailbox, green mailbox. You couldn't see the house. You could see the mailbox and the two bicycles. Well, it's right there. It's just, and you would never expect it to be in a little wood that he'd planned. And he was pleased. He was pleased. Then Jay called.
Oh yeah, Jay called.
Jay called, and he said he had two things. One about a car. he said, you know, you have a trailer out there that that fellow stayed in? I said, yeah. He said, well, he said, I think he's a perfect fella for you all out there at that ranch. He's a wildlife lover and protector. He wants to live out. He's single, he's young, and a great big fella. And he can ride a tractor. He can do most anything. And he's got a trailer. He says, I know because he's working for me. And he's a fine fella. And he wants to live out about life about that way. And I just thought he could be good for you. And you'd be good for him. And he said, if there's any other place that he can set a trailer out there and be on hand to help you out, I thought, this is the fella. Greg's his name. He said, you tell Guy that I wouldn't suggest him unless I thought he was all right. And if he likes to talk with him, I'll bring him out. And I said, at one time when I was talking with him, I said, the thing about it, you had it sort of bothered you to ride the tractor and do much work, and it was hard to get anybody to help you do anything. And he kept that in his mind. And but JJ was enthusiastic about it. And he's got his trailer somewhere around there, and he evidently doesn't have any problem with transportation or car or anything. He'd like to be out this way. And I don't know, it just looked like it just sort of fell into, you know, things like that happen. And he'd had that in his mind.
You can put it right down there for cookies and use the water.
Well, this is what I thought. Mm-hmm.
We have a little collar there out there.
Yeah. And George is no distance. The tackle box is no distance. 17th Street. You're there before you know it.
No distance from where?
From town.
Yes, yes.
And that was Debbie, and she called, she said she planned to come out and bring her typewriter, that she had, she was working on Mr. Weaver, and she's working straight, and she said, I'm muscular, she used that word, and she planned to come out, and she's got sore throat, half the university's got sore throat, And she said she didn't think she should be out with anybody. She'd just stay, but she'd work on it there. And she was just checking in, and she was going to tell you this, just checking in that she meant business. That's what she said. And I thought it was cute as pie.
She could work out there with herself.
She's got temperature, she better stay put.
Yeah, that's right. Right on Mr. Weaver, good God Almighty. I already worked on him.
She had something.
Well, you see, what happens is they work on what's fresh in their mind. She can't work on little Bessie, what she learned about it last summer. She got it in her notes. Well, what good does it do to have it in her notes, Faye?
This must be that Mr. Weaver, that she, what she did last Saturday.
Yes.
She was over there two, 3 hours, she said. So this must be what she's working on.
Yeah.
That's the end of Faye's report on visit with George Wild and J.J.'s talk on the telephone about his friend Greg, who could live out here. Friday, the 22nd of February, 74. And now, on Saturday morning, that's around 300. Now, on Saturday morning, the 23rd of February, 74, Brother Spear comes in with a handful of onions for a visit. Now, this is Channel 1 over around 300 and beginning to visit Mr. Spear this Saturday morning, the 23rd of February, 74. He comes in with a handful of onions.
What I did first, if you want to know how the brainy people get along in this world, let me tell you.
Brainy people? Did you say?
Educated.
Sir?
Or the dumbbells. You see, I had these curtains already up there. Well, I wanted to put some new ones. Well, what did I do? I measured across there just to see how wide to put them. And I got them a different width, you see, from what my brackets were. Why, I'm telling you, a man has really got to be far along before he can do that, sir.
Well, you ought to measure your brackets and not your shades.
If I had done that, you see, I wouldn't have had to do all this cutting. Hell, I got to take this stovepipe down and everything.
Why, you got to take the stovepipe down?
So I could hammer.
Well, you didn't have to do that. Taking your little drill and a drill and punch a hole in it, put a screw in it.
I couldn't get my drill in there. And then I couldn't get my hammer in there. Oh, shoot.
You mean that drill won't go between the wall and the stovepipe?
Yeah, and it will not. It will now because I pulled it out.
Well, it starts saying you could slip the stovepipe out a little.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then put your little drill, that little drill, and put it in there.
Yeah.
Then get your screw, put it in there. But that's the most simple way to put one up anyway.
Right.
Because you ain't hardly got room enough to drive, you know, between your bracket out that way.
No.
Take your little drill and then.
And then that wood's hard and you can't drive anyhow.
Yeah, and you just take a screw and it'll just screw right on in there.
Yeah. Well, now, you know.
I'm not going to climb up that hill, my back's hurt.
Hell, I got it finished. Now I got it now. I've already done my cussing. I've got it worked out, you see. And furthermore, I'd look up there and see what I had to do, and I'd put it off. These curtains have been lying around here months, you see. Just knock it on the floor. Hell, I don't care.
Yeah, but your wife, though,
she don't care.
She has all she don't prep.
Let me tell you, I came by over there the other day. I wanted to catch you before you got back on the job, and I missed you. Your water system was up, was working. You got a nice system there. Yeah, you don't need all them rainbirds and underground.
Rainbirds knocks all your stuff one way. As it goes around, water goes out this way, see, and push all your grass and your plants all one way.
Oh.
Mine, it just goes up and falls right straight back down.
Yeah. Well, now you didn't think that up all at one time. You made little improvements on it.
Well, I just went, yeah, I did too. Whenever I see, I got a damn little rain bird. I did have.
Yeah.
But it, whenever I watered my grass one time with it, I said, to hell with this, I don't like this.
Yeah.
So I just went and got me some that's word of birds. It just squirrels that stuff.
Yeah. Well,
it's hard to put out enough water, so I'm just going to take me a little bit bigger drill and go in there and drill me a bigger hole in my flutters.
That's right.
See, the water pushes that around anyways.
Yeah.
And it shoots stuff just come right straight back down. And the reason why I got it up so high that way, because it does the plants more good. There's more plant oxygen. You see, it gathers oxygen as it comes back down.
Yeah.
You put one up about 15 feet high. If you get one up around 15 feet high, it's almost equal to a rain.
Oh.
You know, rainwater is a beat well water any day.
I see. Yeah. Oh, I hadn't thought about that.
And as your water comes down, it gathers oxygen out of the air, you see, and comes on down and puts plant food in the plant.
I see. I hadn't thought of that.
Now, if you don't believe this is true, you just set one right down on the ground, see, and water with it. And then set one up over another place over yonder and water with it.
Mm-hmm.
And watch the difference in the plants.
Well,
that's all you got to do.
Let me tell you, I want to kind of watch you a little bit every now and then, every week or two, and pick up a few points. Now, I
ain't got no damn points worth a damn.
You well, you have too. Your rainbird, and then your whirlybird, and then your fertilizing system. Tell me you haven't got points.
You work it the way I work mine, and it might not work.
I don't want to work the way you work yours, but I want to see. You see, I can tell more by seeing. Let me tell you, people have explained to me things, and I haven't got the faintest idea what I'm talking about. The first time I worked on the termites here, they told me and told me and told me how to do it, and I was just afraid to get started. The fella come out here, and he got down on his knees there and just took his hands and ditched around those pillars. And he took the, we made up this stuff. I made a drum of it, you see. And I had it on the back of the tractor. And I had a hose in it. And he just turned on the hose and kept it, let it run as long as it would soak.
Who's the ladies?
Oh, they are horse ladies.
Horse ladies?
Yeah.
They look horsey.
They are. Oh, they are cattywampus. Well, after that, you see, no trouble. Well,
did you put it out with the pressure, air pressure in your drum, or what?
No.
It's
just up a little higher than that. And I just had a hose so I wouldn't have to handle it, you see.
I told Freddie Woods to treat his land for beetles. I said, now, you got your pump on your tractor, and you got the drum and everything.
Yeah.
Set your relief valve where it knock off at about a 10-pound pressure. Then take your pipes, run out on each side of your tractor, and put your little scooter, and have your little plow, see, run that, and run them little pipes right down behind your plow,
yeah,
healing your plow.
Yeah.
And have a little sprayer on it where it spray out.
Yeah.
put your pressure on your drum, then open your valve and get right down in. Let that come right in behind your plow, about that fur from your plow.
Yeah.
And spray that stuff out, and then your plow will cover it back up and run a roller over it. And bury it and pack the dirt up on top of it. It'll spread out all under your ground. The plow's about that far from it. Hell, you got it made.
You
could run another plow right behind that shin, throw the dirt on it.
Yeah. All in one trip.
Mm-hmm. Get some half-inch copper tubing.
Yeah.
And run your little holes and make it. It kind of be aggravating for a start with to make it.
Yeah.
But whenever you get it made, then have it fixed away and set it off, put that down under a shelter someplace.
What happened to old Sally Mountain? Old J.R.
I don't know. He's I don't know where J.R.'s working. J.R. can't keep a job. His mouth, he mouths too damn bad.
Oh, he just carries on all the time. You got to know him. He don't mean anything, does he?
I don't know. I don't fool with him. Buster's all I can stand.
Well, I mean, he hurt himself.
Who?
J.R.
Hurt yourself with his mouth?
No, he fell off. He got a bad knee. He can't walk.
Oh, is that right? I didn't know that.
Well, I went over there to borrow something from him a week or two ago, and he had an operation on it, and the thing, he got to take painkillers around the clock.
I didn't know that.
Well, I'll be darned.
I went home.
It was just accidental. I knew it.
You know, I went home. Saturday, last Saturday from here. Told you I'd burn brush heap.
Yeah.
A pile of logs. Got out there Saturday morning. Sunday morning, push them up. See, get them all up together where they're all in. See, where they burn up. Damn, if I didn't hurt my back, and I'd been in one hell of shape. I worked. But if it'd been this morning, I wouldn't have worked because I couldn't get up hard.
Oh, don't tell me.
So I think it's more or less arthritis. I'm going to. Whenever I get back home, I'm going to have a wife put some Sloan's liniment on.
Yeah.
That Sloan liniment. Hell on arthritis.
Let me tell you. Now, I stood there and talked to J.R., and he's sitting out there in the back end of his, in the tailgate of his truck. We'll be here in a minute.
Okay.
The tailgate of his truck.
Well, you can come on in.
In the sun. She got something to do. In the tailgate of his car there in the sun, slinging his feet, exercising things a little bit. And I smell something. I said, J.R., what in the world I smell? Well, he says that's a remedy. He says old Lee gave me that. He lives out in Fairfield, in Flemington. I said, I know Joe Lee. He's a veterinary. Well, he says that's what he give me. He give me Absorbine. He says, don't get the kind for humans. Get the Absorbine for veterinary use. And he was putting that on there, and it apparently just went right in there and hit the spot. He said, wherever he put that, the pain quit. Absorbine. It comes in a great big bottle.
You used to could get, and I can now. Joe Wise got me three or four bottles. Gumbolts, called some bolts. Have you ever heard of it?
Say it again.
Gumbolts, called some bolts.
No, I never heard of anything like that.
My God, it's hell. We had to have strang-halted mules and horses. Mules, we never did have no damn horses. See, we logged with mules. And a swinny on a horse, on a mule right up in his flank up there, his hind legs, his point. Up there, and there's a leader come down. Well, that damn leader would jump out, you see, and he swinted right then.
Oh.
And he can't back up. He can't hardly go whenever he first starts. And he's crippled all the time because that leader hurts, you see. And he definitely can't back up.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we'd take that gumbo to call some balsam and make that mule make him back up and put your two fingers on that leader. And as he starts to back up, slip it back. And he slipped it back in place. And the leader's about as big as your finger. It's very easily done. And then rub his leg good with gumbo to call some balsam. Really rub it good and blister it. And probably then it won't come out in more than a year or something like that. But I have rubbed them that never did come out anymore.
Uh-huh.
And but that stuff is damn good for arthritis. It stinks like hell, though.
Yeah.
I mean, it really stinks. What is this?
Let me tell you something.
Is that a light?
Yeah.
Battery in
it? No, it's got a regular sugar down there.
Big part?
It's got a regular cord that goes right down there.
Oh, yes.
That's just to weight it down. You know, these lamps come with just that little bitty old base, and you just knock them over coming and going. I just waited that little. Let me tell you, I don't care, from my experience with arthritis, I don't care how it smells. If I can get a little relief, I'd use it. That darn arthritis.
Goddamn sure hurts, don't it?
Yes, sir.
And the hell of it is, it don't hurt nobody but you. So,
no.
Nobody gets no sympathy.
Well, where do you have all that experience with mules?
My daddy run a 12-mule farm.
12-mule farm, yeah.
He also was not a turpentine man, but a log man, sawmill man,
yeah,
and a crosstie man.
Yeah.
He was a woodsman.
Yeah.
They used to drive timber down the river.
Yeah.
They didn't haul it. They didn't have trucks and nothing.
Yeah.
And too damn fur to haul on a mule and wagon. So we did put in a timber drive up the river around Bellwood, Alabama, and all up in there. And Phil Chopper had the river full of timber.
Mm-hmm.
Some of it would be square timber, and some of it would be round timber. And I made timber drives on the damn river.
Mm-hmm.
I was small. I kept cook and things like that. Put a raft, you see, build a raft about as, nearly as wide as this room, 16, 18 feet long, 20 feet long.
Mm-hmm.
And put your cook stove and bedding and everything on that. Build a little damn house on it, shelter over.
Is that right? So you
sleep under that and cook and everything under that.
Yeah.
Hell, I made 2-3 drives on the river. Yeah. I'm an old goddamn coon. I know a lot of damn things that people don't know today.
Well, people don't know much today. They don't learn much. They just sail along the highway.
That's right. My grandson, now he's getting him a ride from Micanopy to his work. The man that works on the same job with him, he's gonna ride with him. But he's going to pick his ride up at the Thrift service station down that Micanopy side of 441. You know where it's at. That's
sure.
The old Thrift station.
That, uh-huh.
And now he can't walk from the house where I live down there to pick his ride up. He's got to drive his car down there and get this man to let him park his car down there the afternoon when he comes back in.
Yeah.
He can't walk from there down there.
How about that?
And you know, whenever I was raising my family one time during the Hoover administration, times were hard then.
Yeah.
And a fella got a job he had to go to.
Yeah.
9 damn miles. I had a job 9 miles from home.
Yeah.
And I'd get up in the morning, my wife would get my breakfast and fix my lunch, and I'd walk that goddamn 9 miles and be there at work time. And
is
then,
that right?
And then whenever I got off from work, I'd walk that damn 9 miles back home.
I used to walk 3 miles, between 3 and 4 miles from town out to the river bottom where I went swimming and fishing. And, you know, I didn't walk to a job like you do. And it took a good while to get there.
Well, it didn't take me so damn long. I imagine I'd walk that 9 miles an hour in 20 minutes and run it.
Yeah.
Of course,
jogging.
I'd cut corners.
Yeah.
You see. I wouldn't go around a damn road. I'd climb a fence and cut off a corner, you see.
Yeah.
A thing like that.
When did you come down here? How old are you? Or when was
I've been down here 40 years.
Four from 73. You come in the 30s.
Yeah.
And after Hoover.
Yeah. Now, Hoover just began to break up a little bit. whenever I come down here. The minute the depression was just beginning to ease up.
Yeah. Some little something was going.
It wasn't easy. It wasn't plumb easy whenever I come down here. Begin to ease up a little bit. By the time Roosevelt was elected president.
Yeah. Oh, I see.
And whenever he was elected president, it began to ease up a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So he got little money circulating again.
Yeah, he got a little bit of money circulating.
Yeah. He had all these programs. I was growing up then. You see, I was pretty far along then, and some of them programs was all right that they had.
Some of them up there the other day was talking about during Hoover's administration about how hard it was to live, things like that. I told him, you know, you talk about it now. Kids now, they don't believe a damn word of it.
Mm-hmm.
They think you're telling a damn lie because they are young'uns, you know, and they want them to be, you know, a little bit more economical and things like that. See, man. So they just damn sure don't believe it. But you know, you couldn't get a job. There wasn't no such damn thing as getting a job. Now you could, I mean by that, Mr. Meyer, a regular job, you see,
mm-hmm.
like I've got now, you couldn't do that,
because
mm-hmm. it wasn't enough.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there was one, but there was a half dozen men.
Yeah.
There was a goddamn line as long as from here, there woods over here, I'm waiting for another man to fall out so another could walk in.
Yeah.
Well, I told him, my kids and my old lady had three meals a day now. It might have not been a damn thing for milk and buttermilk and cornbread.
Mm-hmm.
So some of their meals, some of it'd be biscuit and syrup. Sometimes it'd be cornbread and syrup. No meat. A lobby gravy, you'd put a little bit of flour and grease in the damn fryer and salt and brown it, put some water in it and eat that with cornbread or biscuit or something like that. But I said, my kids and my wife and myself always had a full belly three times a day. We filled our belly up three times a day.
Mm-hmm.
We never did go hungry. But I said, I'll tell you what I have done. I went to a person's house and cleaned out from under his old outdoor privy, dug a damn hole, and cleaned out from under his privy and put in that hole and covered up. I've done that. That, by God, any damn thing in the world that I could do to make an honest dollar with, I done it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's some damn things that I done right then wasn't honest, but I made it honest. Later on, I made it honest.
Such as?
I didn't have nothing. I didn't have no damn money. We had to have a little something to eat. We had to have a little something from the store. You couldn't get no credit. That fella wouldn't let you have a damn thing on the credit because no goddamn way for you to pay it.
Yeah.
You didn't have a job. How in the hell is you going to pay it?
Yeah.
Well, there was a big store there in Geneva. Had three or four clerks in it. Grocery store.
Yeah.
I think it had four clerks in it. Well, I'd go there and I'd talk to one man. I'd go get a gallon of cooking oil out of a drum and carry a syrup bucket with me and draw it full of cooking oil.
Uh-huh.
And I'd go sit down inside the wall.
Yeah.
After a while, I go back in there and talk to another, and after a few minutes, I go get a sack of flour and put in there. And I never did pay for a damn bit of it. Whenever I got ready to go, I just gathered all up, carried out, put it on a wagon, and take it all home. I didn't pay a damn thing, but I kept an account of it.
Yeah.
You see, I charged it to myself. I had to have a little book to put it all in.
I never heard anything like that.
Well, whenever I moved down here and got a job, I saved a little money,
uh-huh.
and I went back home, and I taken that little book with me.
Yeah.
I think I owed the man $78 and so. $78 and some few cents.
Yeah.
Old Dan Chapman was in there. I taken that little book in there, give it to his bookkeeper, told her to run it up, tell him how much it was. Each damn one of them was itemized. You know what it was, syrup, bacon, no damn bacon, syrup, lard, and sugar, and matches, setsatsi, every damn thing on that was itemized. So she ran it up for $78.70, I don't remember since. And I told you, Mr. Chapman, the money, I says, I owe you this. He said, no, I says, you don't owe us anything. I said, yeah, I do. And I explained it to him. What I done. He got up, stood up, put his damn arm around my shoulder, and says, there ain't another goddamn man in the state of Alabama that would have done that. Now, they might have toted the damn stuff out of you, but they would have never come back in here and paid for it. They never kept up with it on the book. I said, well, Mr. Chapman, I guess you could have called it stealing.
Yeah.
But I says, I didn't call it stealing. I ain't stole a thing in the world. I'm in here to pay for it. He says, well.
He just borrowed it.
He says, he says, you wouldn't have let me have it. I says, I had to have it. So that was the way I got it.
Don't you miss them old stores?
Yeah. But, you know. Old Dan Chapman from then on, if I'd have got on him and got in tight for a little bit of money, I could have wrote him a letter or called him,
yeah.
And he would have sent me some damn money. He would have used up on me.
Yeah.
Mr. Meyer, it don't cost no man, not one damn thing in the world, to be honest.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
You mean it'll come back to him?
It'll come back to him.
Yeah.
If you ever need a recommendation, and it's got this day and time that you can't get a job no place without you give a recommendation.
No.
Because the first thing they ask you is, where did you work last?
Yeah.
Well, whenever you say where you worked last, you done give that place for a reference.
Yeah. And they're gonna check on you now.
They're gonna check on you. Damn right.
Yeah. Well, you know, I never even heard of anything like that until I was, way along. I never had any recommendations. I never, when I asked for a job, I never got any recommendations. Why, you know, let me tell you, the way they get these jobs around here now, I don't care who it is, in the city hall or over on the campus.
A job that's worth a damn.
Yes. They gotta have a little book almost.
Yeah, that's right.
Showing the places they work, and they got to have
and everything.
Got to have letters on what they done while they was there.
Up yonder at Ridgeways, where I work, I pick up old brake shoes, old windshield wiper motors, old master cylinders, brake cylinders. Old things like that, see, that can be reworked.
Mm-hmm.
Shock absorbers and all like that. They can be reworked and put them up. So I told Mr. Barker, the man that came around, he found out I'd like to know because I had a whole lot of this stuff I was going to sell. The shop foreman that they fired, David Stone, they fired him yesterday, was a week ago, and I didn't know it. I told him, David Stone told me that I could put up this stuff and men come around to redeem it. I could take it and put it in my pocket, but I says, that ain't right. I said, I'll sell it. And I told David, I says, they ain't damn thing right about that. I said, I won't do it. I said, I'll take it that.
Now, what was it he was going to let you do?
Take up all them old brake shoes and master cylinders and shock absorbers.
Yeah.
And old alternators and things like that, see, and salvage them, and whenever the man comes back around, you see, they're rebuildable, you see. They,
oh, I see.
They sell them to these men, they take them back and rebuild them.
Oh, I see.
Reline the brake shoes and things like that.
So he's going to let you pick them up and sell them to the firm.
Yeah, and put the damn money in my pocket, see,
yeah.
Which they'd be thrown in the dump. But I wouldn't do that. I picked them up and put them up. Man come by the other day and take them up. taken them up Thursday, I believe. Thursday, Friday, it's Thursday that he'd taken them up. I had $25 worth. So I get Mr. Barkin to put it in the kitty. I said, now, you can put this over to one side. Then when we need some all dry, or broom, or something other like that, you can take it out of the kitty and that will go back into the shop. And you see, it won't be charged the shop, it won't be charged no damn money, because it is actually the shop's money. But it, otherwise, it would have been thrown away, and there's no use in throwing it away when you put it up, and it could be reused, something other like you. That, mm-hmm. Like that, you get some money out of it. So we get brooms and all dry and such that way.
Yeah.
I'll put it up like you say.
How do you know?
Because hell, it wasn't mine.
You know, I didn't know they did. I didn't know that stuff could be salvaged.
Oh, yeah.
They take them and rework them.
Oh, yeah. Any damn thing like that it can be reworked and made as good as new.
Mm-hmm.
Alternator. Carburetor, an old carburetor, anything like that. See, it can be reworked.
Yeah, I'd figure a carburetor could.
You know, you can get reworked carburetors, reworked alternators.
That's about all you get. There's reworked carburetors. Is
no, you can buy a brand new one.
It costs so much more.
Well, I always put new stuff on my car to
yeah.
Help the used stuff. I don't.
Yeah. The new stuff is poor enough.
You can even take air filters and I've never known a fuel filter, but air filters, you can get them. You can go to Western Auto, and that's about all that you can get there is a reworked air filter. And I wouldn't put one on my car.
Oh, is that right? Is that what you get? Let me tell you, before you stop, and get back to work, I want you to. I want you to tell me another story about old Wilds. I never saw him but twice, you understand. But he's a bird. I may never see him again.
Well, what was it about him?
Well, he everything he said was cattywampus. He says he laughed and he says this damn world is getting so crazy, and he'd blow. You've heard him blow?
Yeah. Well, I'll go along with George on that. It ain't getting crazy, it's getting crooked.
Yeah.
Did you know that you can't buy no gasoline now?
In this whole area?
This whole damn area that I know of, every damn pump blocked off.
I'll be done. Have to wait till next week.
I don't know. When the hell are they going to unblock it?
Well, somebody told me there's plenty of gasoline in Tampa. But the government had it locked up.
Well, now, there wasn't no gas in Tampa 2 weeks ago because my granddaughter was there and wanted to come home, and she's afraid to come. Afraid she couldn't get no gas. There was plenty here then.
Well, yes, it's in storage down there. And you can't say, Faith, where are you? Come on in here and sit down a minute. We gotta. Now that damn thing. You know what happened? You know I didn't know you could get windows. You see that cut the light out, and then some that don't. That's nice. I got these at Murphy's.
Well, them that don't cut the light out, better.
Well, over here, I sit over there generally where you are, and I'm looking out here, and it gives me the squints.
Come on,
I'm not gonna sit down.
He ain't in account this morning, Faye. He got his back stove up.
Yeah, I ain't.
When he went home last Saturday,
my goodness,
he went out there and started pushing stuff around.
And I can't hardly walk.
My gosh.
That's right.
And I told him about that veterinary absorbine that J.R. was using out there that he got from Jolie, And he told me one better. Tell her, what is
no,
that?
No, I Sloan, oh, gunboat caught some balls.
Yeah.
Gunboat.
Gunboat caught some balls.
Well,
you never heard of that.
I trust you use it.
No, I ain't got none. I have to go wise to get me some.
You're going to get some more. You're going to get some.
Why are you going up the top of them, old man?
They won't go to the bottom. And then I got a thing to put across there.
Oh.
You know, well, I got one over there.
Yeah,
too,
I got a curtain.
But it's not up. Hand me that thing. Let me see. Did I put something in over here?
Gosh, I don't know whether you did or not.
Well, let me have it. Let me try it once more. The curtain.
The curtain.
Let me get this.
Okay, so you can
measure me.
That's backwards. Yeah. I think this is the meanest job there is.
I
put a curtain up. It's as mean as any job you can
get.
Yeah, the way I'm doing it is meaner than anything.
Push it up a little bit. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, the way I'm doing it is really, I'm really doing it.
The hard way.
I'm really doing it, the hard way to have get this old nail out of here. Fall down. I'm telling you, it looks to me like a man could at least have a few onions and collards.
Oh, they smell so good.
They're
what?
Those onions back there. Ooh.
What's the season on onions?
Any time.
Up.
Huh?
Down a little bit on the other side.
Right about there?
Yeah.
Well, now you look at it. Here's where you get it, right down
there.
Yeah,
that's right. Yeah, that's it. Now, what you did with that little bracket?
I got it, one of them in my hand.
Okay.
What you ought to do is mark that up there.
That'd be simple, wouldn't it? Pencil.
Yeah. Yes, sir. If you want to see some carpentry, now you just watch this. None of that. Well, you're reaching out.
And your screwdriver.
Yeah, a nail. Screw would be easier, wouldn't it?
Well, he wouldn't bump his finger and bend his bracket and nothing.
Yeah, these little things. Now he takes a chance on both of them, doing both.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure sorry about that back. That's it.
He didn't know. I told him I was over at J.I.'s the other day, and when I saw him, he told me about that absorbing. He didn't even know J.I. had busted his knee.
I hadn't seen Jar Mountain 9 months. I don't
right.
I believe he said he had an operation. They went in and had surgery on that back before Christmas, and he still can't wiggle much. He's right over there all the time. Just sitting over there and can't do anything. So I told him he ought to.
That suits him when he can't get to work, he can't do nothing.
I told him he ought to get a little poker game started or something like that, you see. That'd be better than sitting there feeling sorry for yourself.
He ain't feeling sorry for himself.
He not?
No.
He knows.
It's the shade that's crooked. It's not the top. Wait a minute, let's see, is it?
It's the shade that's crooked.
Yeah, the shade is crooked.
That's
right.
That.
We'll adjust it. That'll all be hidden at that stop.
Well, that's curious. It's not level, eh?
Oh, well.
There's the drum thing.
What, is it too close?
That's all right. It's better than it was. It's a little high, but...
Yeah.
You can go by the other one.
Next time I build a house, I'm going to know it. I get the damn thing out. Next time I build a house, I'm going to make it have a few shortcuts. This is good, heavy stuff, this curtain. If I'd had these to start with, I wouldn't have to put up the, any new ones.
That's better. Now you got it too high.
I think that they're crooked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a little crooked. Okay.
You left Alabama?
Yes, sir. No, but I'd like to go back now. I'd like to go back to Alabama now.
For a visit or stay?
Stay. People like to tell you too damn much what you can do down here and what you can't do.
Oh.
That I don't like.
They seem to be getting worse about it.
Oh, yeah.
Better.
Yeah. All over the state of Florida, it's getting like that.
Is that?
How do you account for that?
Well, it's a money man that's doing it.
Oh, I see.
You talk about democracy, we don't have it no more. We're going back into Hitlerism.
We don't have much of it. You don't see it very often.
You know, the night they had such a fight down the schoolhouse about the water and everything.
Yeah.
I told them that night they ought to take down that damn United States flag and then put up a swastika up there.
Now, what was that? What night was that up there? Was I up there?
I don't know. That was the night they were having such a wrangle about Miss Sherfield moving a trailer in on her place down there. She got that trailer, though.
What are they trying to do about telling people not to put trailers in?
They won't let you move a trailer in there. Or wouldn't then. I think they've let up on that a little bit now.
They won't.
Like Lynn and Evelyn, there won't be a King's there, you know, you see.
Well, what does it want? Everybody to build a great big house?
Yeah, I'm going to build a house.
Let me tell you, the way things are now, if I didn't have a house, I couldn't buy one. Not the way things are now. Everything is clear. You talk about rich man's world. I don't know whether it's a rich man's world or what it is, but it's sure not a poor man's world. Well, God almighty, see how did I miss it a whole inch?
What'd you do? Get it too wide apart?
Uh-huh.
Mash them in a little bit.
It's too far to mash. Well, what do you know?
Bend each one of them in a little.
Okay. There you are.
I'll hide the top.
Yeah, but I don't. It won't stand inspection. Yeah.
Ooh.
That lot.
Yeah, well, I'm surprised that you got it.
I tried to get Mr. Steer to give me and tell me another story about old George, that fella you met up there, the old George Wild. He's something. I wish you'd have him out here to eat with you again. Invite me over there too. We'd get him going.
He looked
to me like, from the way he talks, he something happens when he comes around.
No. George is very quiet.
Is he?
Yeah.
I thought he's a pretty good talker.
I always thought a lot of old George.
You never went to eat up at his house?
No.
Oh, there's a lot of them fellas. I don't know hardly anybody up there. And you know, when I went up there, working it up there on the campus, I knew everybody around my district area there. Now I don't know any of them. And for one thing, they took out all the white people and put in the blacks.
Yeah.
And then they started taking the blacks out and putting these fellas from Sunland Training Center.
Is that right?
They had a lot of them at one time. Uh-huh. And you'd come up and talk to a fella, and he wouldn't give you much satisfaction. And what you'd come to find out was that he was one of those fellas out there, and he couldn't think very well. And they were putting them around. So I just about lost track of what was going on out there. He says you're not going to get anything out of him this morning.
What?
Let me tell you, Faye.
Yeah.
Let me tell you what we were talking about a while ago. That water system he's got over there, I told him that rainbird that he got over there, he got high up, you see, where it'll turn around.
Yeah.
And the sprinkle, he says, the thing about having it high up is it gets to be more like rain water, you see. It comes through the air and gets a little oxygen in it.
Yeah, it gathers oxygen as like rain does when it comes through the air.
So it's better to have it high. Yeah. I hadn't thought of that.
I never had thought of that.
But it ain't a rain bird, though.
No.
A rain bird
will
go run.
Whirly bird.
Yeah. It's just a sprinkle. It just turned.
Just a sprinkler up there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you get all that? Did you get your burning done?
Yeah.
So you're ready for your tomatoes as soon as
the
weather moderates. Mm-hmm. Well, now, you can put tomatoes in as early as you want to, because while they're growing off, if it gets a little bit nippy for them, you can just stick a tub over them or something, can't you?
Yeah, get a piece of paper.
Oh, will that do?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Just to keep the frost off. I got pepper bushes that sprouted out.
Mm-hmm.
I covered them up last night. I thought probably about frost.
Yeah.
I had hot pepper. The only kind I raise is hot.
Mm-hmm. Red?
No, it turns red.
Yeah.
Whenever it gets ripe.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But it's green to start with. But boy, it ain't nothing but hot. You can fry meat in it.
You know, there's nothing I like as much as hot pepper and hot stuff like that. And you know, I haven't eaten any of that stuff in years. Somewhere along the line, you see, I got to figuring the kind of food a fella ought to eat is plain food. Not even seasoned too much, you see. And you know, I just go crazy over some of that stuff. You know, you can buy these link sausages and some just old plain bologna that really let me tell you, it got taste to it. Let me tell you, one of the cutest things I ever saw in my life. I don't know what it was. I was over there, and Buster was carrying on one time. He talking about that dog he is being so smart. I said, Buster, that dog of yours, he hadn't got enough sense to. He don't look to me like he's a brainy dog. And you know what he did? He called him over there, and he says, he'll talk. He'll count for you. One, two, three, you know the trick.
Yeah.
And what Buster did, he walked in Mr. Weaver's store there and got him three or four slices of that bologna and come out there. And I never saw an animal just go crazy like that dog did. He liked that bologna so well, he would do anything.
He'd
stand on his head or turn flips or anything. I never saw it. I never saw it.
That little white dog.
Yes. Is he still there?
No, I think somebody run over and killed him.
Oh, yeah. Well, he was a trained dog. I forget what it was, but he'd count. Busted hold up his fingers or something. I forget it.
Well,
he did it.
I don't see anybody down there anymore much.
No, it's making up very quiet now.
Well, where do you hang out? Where do you see anybody? Just stay at home?
I stay home.
Golly, that used to be the liveliest little place. You could go down there and talk to anybody.
See, Buck and Mary went out of business there. You see,
yeah.
And they put in that antique store there, and nobody, a few people go to that antique store, but you know, used to they'd gather around Buck's there and drink beer and things like that. But they don't do that anymore.
And there's no place that red and white clothes.
Yeah, red and white clothes there.
Went out of business.
And this old man that runs J.E.'s store down there, bought out J.E., I think they're pretty nice people. I haven't got acquainted with them. I just go there once in a while and buy some, a few little something. It cost you about twice as much to get it in Gainesville. And I'm in Gainesville every day anyway, seeing if I
mm-hmm.
want anything at that.
That's right. It cost you about twice as much.
Yeah. And so.
Where do you buy in Gainesville? Any particular place?
Yeah, I always buy it at Pampers Fried.
Yeah.
Up there next to Sears Roebuck.
Yeah. Worth a trip up there.
Yeah, you go coming this and that on the South Main down there. I mean, North Main. It's down in the niggers and that. You can't run around and a big old fat sloppy nigger woman will go to the store and take about a half a dozen little nigger youngins and running around there. And you run a cart up against one or over his toe or something other like that and you're in trouble right then.
Mm-hmm.
So we quit going there and we go next to see his robots. There ain't no niggas out there too much.
Mm-hmm.
Out on a Westgate shopping center, I don't know how it is out there, but once in a while we go at A&P's out there, but A&P's terrible high too, you see.
You know, I missed A&P when moving from there on.
It's out on 16th.
Way out there. You see, that's out of my...
Mm-hmm.
My beach.
You got on next to Waldo Road out there. And turn off that little American station on 16th and go down there. About a block and a half, and it's all right.
Well, that is too far for me, you see. How do I go?
Well, you don't save anything out there much, do you? At A&P?
Not too much, no. But whenever we go to A&P now, we don't go through town at all. See, we go around town and hit Waldo Road going out that way.
See,
pipe again,
what are your riders doing now?
They're working on the saddles.
Yeah. You know what you do? I want him to see that those chairs do.
They're right out there with all the tack.
Let's walk out there and see them little tikes.
What the hell, man? I see girls tikes on all
the time. You haven't seen anything like this. They come out here to work.
You haven't seen like that.
They work on the horses, they work on the tack, and they're out there just cleaning that tack like everything. You don't see any youngsters who work like that.
Then they go and work these horses out. They're just children, you see.
And they're so businesslike about it.
Oh, they are businesslike. Yes.
I told them if they came out here to work with the horses, they couldn't tie me down because I was going to be in and out. Oh, they said, we won't bother you. We'll just work.
Yeah.
Where's the horses?
Right out there.
In the pasture.
Yeah. They're probably up there visiting with them, aren't they?
I don't think they've come up yet. They didn't want them to come up till they got the saddle tray.
Oh, I see. Didn't want them to be bothered with them.
They're out there practicing on cattle knots, too.
Oh, are they? You got them on that.
Have you got a rotor tiller?
No.
No.
I got a harrow.
It
won't do it.
You have to crack. That's too much. I was saying if you had a rotor tiller there, you could tilt up some ground out there and raise some onions,
yeah,
some tomatoes, stuff
like
that.
Yeah. I got some ground fixed down there.
Oh, yeah.
All I got to do is put them in.
Well, there are plenty of plants in town.
Well, I'm going to tell you. See, I can't ride the tractor. I get irritation from it, and then I have to start taking sulfur. And last year, I went ahead and rode the sulfur, the tractor, and took sulfur while I was riding it.
I let her drive.
But I'm...
I can do it.
I'm about, but she might do it, might do that.
Your hair got a hydraulic lift on it?
Yeah. I got a fella in mine come out here and live out here and handle some of this stuff. See, a lot of the work I can do. I just can't ride the tractor.
That's a real mean thing, too, when you... Guy rather ride that tractor than anything in the world.
Well, I used to.
He just loves to ride.
I used to work a mule, and you see, before I worked a mule, I used to be in a gang of people hoeing and all like that. So, I feel more at home out there than I do in here fooling around with a typewriter. See, I spend most of my time behind the damn old typewriter. If you want to go batty, you just get your typewriter and stand up there and fiddle with it.
Oh, Lordy.
That's you wish you had a mule by the time you do that a while.
I wouldn't work in the office. Oh, Lordy. Well, just about.
Look at that tree.
Well,
God, just since we saw it.
Golly. Well, how'd you do it?
I just hit this right to my back. Right, it's right in there.
Right in there?
Yeah.
Just pulling something around?
One time I just turned around and threw the shovel over like that. And something hit my back like that. 2 hours I couldn't get up and down hard.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Slipped a disc.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what you done about it?
Be still and let it get well.
is that it? You don't exercise?
Yeah.
Is not the same.
Have you been going
that.
To work?
I work all the time.
That's really keeping still.
Well, yeah. I was getting along all right till I put on an exhaust pipe the other day and it kind of rinsed again.
No, you don't want to do that.
I had to come back from the manifold all the way back, see.
Uh-huh.
Put on one. Kind of rinsed around a little bit.
Sometimes they're sort of mean. So you get them there where you can't.
No, I got chisels and things, air hammers and things like that. But
yeah.
I don't have to take no hammer and beat it, nothing like that. Use air.
Yeah. Well, even that can get you hung up every now and then.
Mm.
Especially if you already got a catch back there. But I'm telling you, you're welcome to that. Let me tell you, sometimes standing up straight is easier on a fella than sitting down.
Old woman, I wouldn't clean them onions straight because I didn't know if you would save them. What you want to save?
Eat the whole thing, tops and bottom.
Well, I appreciate you bringing them to me. You know, that's a good bet.
Didn't make.
dead man.
No.
Well, I raised my sweet potatoes that rubber rotor till there. Rubber fertilizer for that little ridge in the middle and then take five this stuff on there and stick five.
Well, that's what he does.
I raised them last year when they grew out of the ground.
Is that right?
12, 15 potatoes from the
Is that right? Last year?
Go.
Is that right?
Lord help us. Yeah, I didn't think it stayed that long.
I think so.
Coming over around 1700, then the visit with Mr. Spear this Saturday morning, 23rd of February, 74. Time went over around 1700, and then the visit with Mr. Spear this Saturday morning, 23rd of February, 74.